You're listening to The Agenda with Ari Raibenhoft.
Welcome back to The Agenda here on SiriusXM Progress 127. We are joined by Ambassador Saeed Hussein Mousavian, who is an associate research scholar at Princeton University, author of Iran and the United States, An Insider's View on the Failed Past and Road to Peace. And his roles have included spokesperson for Iran in its nuclear negotiations with the international community and foreign policy advisor to the Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council. Ambassador, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
So news reports are out that sometime today, it looks likely that a deal between the P5 plus one and Iran will be announced. What do you think the parameters of this deal will be?
I think the two main parameters the world powers are looking are, first, Iranian commitment to the maximum level of transparency within non-proliferation treaty NPT on its nuclear program for inspections by the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency. And second is about objective guarantees that Iranian nuclear program would not divert toward weaponization. These are some measures beyond current international rules and regulations, which have never been defined before. Like, they are asking Iran to cap its enrichment below 5%, while all members of NPT, non-proliferation treaty, they can enrich up to level of 100%, or they are asking Iran not to have reprocessing for a long period at its heavy water facilities at Arak, while all member of NPT, they can have always reprocessing, and some other countries they have. However, Iranians, they have shown flexibility on all major measures which would assure non-diversion of Iranian nuclear program toward weaponization. However, two main issues is left, which they are working very hard, and most likely they would be able to agree by late this afternoon or evening, and most likely they would be able to announce the deal tonight or maximum tomorrow. Number one is about possible military dimension issues raised by some countries. It is on the agenda of IAEA, and the IAEA is requiring Iran access beyond non-proliferation treaty, beyond additional protocol, which there is no international rules and regulations to define inspections beyond NPT. This is number one. And number second is about lifting sanctions. While already Iran and the world powers, they have agreed all sanctions, nuclear-related sanctions, would be lifted. It is about 2 weeks that the U.S. is insisting some nuclear-related sanctions should be kept for a while. That's why Iranians, they are opposing to the U.S. demand. They say, we have already agreed and we cannot divide the sanctions. Already we agreed that all unilateral, multilateral United Nations sanctions would be lifted. These are two issues left. And I'm optimistic they would be able to find a solution. They are working very hard. I was told 98% of the draft is already finished, and they are working to resolve the two remaining issues.
What is that process like in the negotiations? How are those issues being resolved?
See, actually, what they are working for a long period is for the first time they are creating a document which has never been already existed during the history of proliferation, because They have we have already non-proliferation treaty NPT, Iran is already member. But what I said about objective guarantees that the Iranian nuclear program would never divert toward weaponizations, these are sets of many, many measures that would block the pathway toward possible weaponization of Iranian nuclear program. They are working on about a document about 100 pages, and it's too technical. And believe it or not, this is not, I believe the world powers have invested so much time. It is not because of Iranian nuclear program, because they understand this would be a document, a new document for proliferation issue in the world, which definitely would guarantee no country would be able to ever weaponize its nuclear program if it's going to be implemented by the other countries. This is going to be a new document for international community on proliferation. That's why this is so difficult, because there has been no rules and regulations before. Otherwise, the negotiation could be, have been finished some months ago. That's why, as I said, the measures beyond NPT, like, for example, they are talking for some technical changes at heavy water facility of Iran. The current heavy water is producing plutonium 10 kilograms per year. If you are going to make a nuclear bomb, 10 kilograms would be enough to make a nuclear bomb. Now they are discussing to reduce the amount of production from 10 kilogram to 1 kilogram. Therefore, in case you are going to make nuclear bomb, it would take 10 years. That's why these technical issues have become so complicated, and that's why it has taken so much time. However, I think if they agree, which I believe most probably they would be able to agree by this evening or latest tomorrow, this would be really a big victory for not only Iran and the world powers, for proliferation and for international community as whole.
In the room, though, what are these conversations like when the powers are talking, when... you know, when you have the foreign ministers of these countries going back and forth, when you have the staff, how do those conversations get structured?
The conversations, first of all, they have technical teams stationed already in Vienna. American team, they are about 50, 60 persons, members, they're working for weeks and for months. Other countries also, they have a delegation from their foreign ministry, from the Iranians, for example, they have a big delegation from Atomic Energy Organization. They have from security establishments, all related establishments from each country, they are there. However, when they reach to something, they need, specifically Iran and the U.S., they need to check with their capitals. And believe me, these talks are more about Iran and the U.S. And they are the main and the key player on the negotiations. Practically, the U.S. is leading the talks, and the main negotiation is done by the U.S. and Iran. American delegation also, when they reach to some point, they have to check with Washington. If the two capitals approve, then they go to the second step, and then they continue to final step.
What are the long-term implications? So we strike a deal. What happens next? Is there a possibility for broader conversations after?
I think the first broader implication would be for Iran and the world powers, Iran and the U.S., to open a dialogue on regional issues, because we have number of crises from Syria to Iraq, ISIS, terrorist groups, Afghanistan crisis, Yemen. We have all over the region, we have problem. Iran is a key player regionally, and the U.S. is the key international player. If we have a deal on nuclear, if we have success on these nuclear talks, then Iranians and Americans, they would be able to engage on a regional dialogue to negotiate the regional crisis. This would be the first big implementation. Specifically, they would be able to cooperate directly fighting against ISIS and terrorism. And second, this would be a beginning of decreasing tension, 35 years of tensions, hostility, animosity between Iran and the U.S., and the two countries would be able to negotiate other bilateral differences they have.
We are talking with Ambassador Saeed Hussein Mousavian about the potential Iran deal that hopefully will be announced later today. How do we deal with, speaking of regional issues, with Syria, which I think, you know, which is one side of the ISIS situation?
See, Iranians and Americans, they have good experience already in the region. They worked together in 2001 on Afghanistan issue, and they agreed on a free election based on power sharing and the rule of majority. This was really the criteria, the framework they agreed in 2001 on Afghanistan. That's why you see in Afghanistan, the president is a Sunni because Sunnis are majority, Pashtun Sunnis, they are majority in Afghanistan. Then in 2003, after the fall of Saddam, again, Iranians and Americans, they were the key players to negotiate the future of Iraq. And they agreed on the same principle on Iraq, a free election, power sharing system, and the rule of majority. In Iraq, Shias, they are majority. They are about 65%, 70%. That's why the first man from administration, the prime minister, is Shia. However, the Speaker of Parliament is Sunni. They have been able to structure a new mechanism which would be acceptable and would be practically working perfectly, although in Iraq we have the problem of terrorism. It has nothing to do with the governmental governing structure. I think they would be able to negotiate on Syria with the same principles. Iran and the U.S., first they need to agree on Syria to clean Syria from this Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, ISIS, and this extremist terrorism. Second, they would need to agree to keep the identity and integrity of Syria as a nation and as a country. Third, they would be able to agree on a power-sharing system with the rule of majority. Of course, Sunnis in Syria, they have majority, and they can find a moderate Sunni like what they could find for Afghanistan. That time it was Karzai in 2001. And they would be able also to work on a transitional period for a free election to resolve the Syrian crisis.
And we're talking with Ambassador Saeed Hussein Mousavian. So, Ambassador, how does, you know, in the U.S., President Obama will obviously have to deal with Congress. How does the Iranian government, Rouhani, Zarif, and ultimately the Supreme Leader, deal with hardliners over there who will oppose this deal?
See, the domestic situation in Washington and in Tehran are exactly mirror image, are exactly the same. I mean, what you see in Washington, you can say the situation in Tehran is exactly the same. However, I think here President Obama has a final power to decide, even if the Congress they reject the deal, Obama can veto. In Iran, Parliament has strong opposition. However, if a deal is reached and if Iranian Supreme Leader agrees, then they would be able to convince the Iranian Parliament or to go ahead and implement the agreement.
What do you think are what do you think has been the most difficult part of this process so far?
The most difficult part of the process are issues beyond the current international rules and regulations. After Lausanne, April 2015, the framework agreement reached in Lausanne. If you look at the Lausanne agreement, you would see 90% of the elements, the principles, are beyond the current international rules and regulations. When they sit together to define how this would be implemented, to define the implementation framework, the technical issues, this is really, really, really difficult because practically this is a new document. This is a new treaty on non-proliferation in the world.
Now, when examining, when looking at this treaty, you know, Javad Zarif, more than a decade ago, wrote a document that was written anonymously to suggest a kind of grand bargain between the U.S. and Iran. Do you think there's a chance of that ever becoming a reality?
I believe there is a chance. First, we need to finish this nuclear from the U.S. point of view. Iranian nuclear issue is U.S. security, national security number one, or one of the top U.S. national security issues. Therefore, we need first to resolve the nuclear. Second, I believe there would be a good chance to open cooperation and dialogue for a joint cooperation between Iran and the U.S. fighting terrorism, because they are exactly in the same page. I mean, when we are talking about terrorism today, internationally there is consensus that ISIS, Daesh, Jabhat al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda, they are threat number one to the world, not only Iran and the U.S., not only the region, to the world, they are threat number one. When you look at the scene in Middle East on fighting these terrorists, you would see that Americans practically are leading the air strike against these terrorists, and Iranians are leading the ground forces against these terrorists. Therefore, practically, they are in the same boat. They are in the same page. And this deal would create a chance for a real direct cooperation. And achievement would be huge if you can fight such a threat and to remove the current international security threat number one, which are these terrorists. Then I believe we would be able to negotiate the regional crisis, how to resolve Iraq issue, while the two countries are the biggest player on Iraq and Afghanistan, and how to resolve the Syrian issue. And if we get success on some regional issues, then you can say we are in the road to peace between Iran and the U.S.
And what do you anticipate will be the result of today's announcement?
I believe they would be able to agree by either the most probably tonight, late evening, or tomorrow morning. This is my anticipation, because Iranians and Americans, Iran and the world powers, they have invested too much already. And as I said, Yesterday, I was told by my friends that 98% of the draft is done. They have already agreed. Therefore, I hope very much they would be able to agree by tonight.
Now, how do you respond to two elements that I think separate the U.S. and Iran separate from this deal? One is, you know, anti-U.S. rhetoric you hear from Iranian leaders, and second is funding of groups like Hezbollah.
See, the anti-rhetoric you hear in both countries, you have heard for 35 years in the U.S. continuously, day and night against Iran. And this is the same in Iran. Therefore, it is not Iranian rhetoric against the U.S. We have the U.S. rhetoric against Iran. If there is a success on nuclear, and if we are going to begin broader dialogue, while we have more success on different issues, I believe these successes would lessen the rhetoric. And this is the only way to go. The issues of Hezbollah is only related to integrity and independence of Lebanon. You know, when Israel invaded Lebanon in 1982, a big invasion, for months they were bombarding and killing thousands of Lebanese. At that time, practically, Hezbollah was created to fight Israel occupation of Lebanon. And whenever Israelis, they have invaded Lebanon, it has been only Hezbollah to fight Israel to defend the integrity of Lebanon and to fight Israeli occupation. Therefore, if international community is able to find a solution preventing Israelis for more invading the neighboring countries or invading Lebanon and respect the integrity of its neighbors, then I think we would be able to find a solution for differences on Hezbollah.
What do you see as the gaps between the U.S. and Iran on broader issues?
I believe the biggest issue is mistrust because of 35 years of hostilities. There are a lot of mistrust, misunderstanding, misperceptions, miscalculations in both capitals. And the way for trust building really is, first, as I said, they have to resolve the nuclear. Second, they have to work on the regional issues which they have common interests, like terrorism. And third, I believe there are huge common interests between Iran and the U.S. They have common interest for stability of energy in the region. They have common interest in Iraq and Afghanistan because they have been practically supporting the same governments for a decade over there. They have the same common interest blocking, preventing the current trend of terrorism in the Middle East. They have a common interest fighting drug trafficking. They have a lot of common interests. And unfortunately, they have never been able to work on the issues of common interests. I think the nuclear deal would open the door for the two big nations, two big countries, to cooperate on the issues of common interests. And I believe this is the way to go.
And what you think that a deal will be reached today?
This is most likely.
Well, Ambassador Mousavian, thank you so much for joining us to explain this all. We will be back after these words.